Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast. I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This is show number 87, we said it was?
We think it is.
We think it's 87.
You can look at your monitor. We're not sure, and we're not even drunk, so.
We're not yet, at least.
Yeah, we are walking down Halsted Street, but not Boys Town
Halsted
Street.
Not the
Halsted
neighborhood
Street.
Halsted.
We're walking down near what used to be the Hood.
Right.
And now is the Restoration Hardware Hood.
Seriously, we're at the
Crate
corner.
Crate and Barrel.
CB2 right here on the corner. We're at North and
Halsted.
Right, just leaving Steppenwolf. Performance of Betrayal.
And you can go anywhere and find a Queer Cast listener. We're sitting there.
Okay, how crazy. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Keith. Keith E. We won't say your last name in case you don't want us to, but Keith E. came up to us and was like, oh my God, listen to your, heard Peter speak.
He looks at me and he goes,
Are you Peter Maverick? I'm like, Peter is such a stud. Look at you. And then proceeded to just gush about how he listens to us.
So sweet, so
and
kind.
Loves. Like, just feels like he knows us, and
yeah, and it's that podcast connection. It's what really got me into podcasting in the beginning. It was that connection that you have with somebody, and I'm so thrilled when somebody makes contact with that, because there's been other times when people have sent emails or something and said, well, I saw you, but I didn't want to come up and talk to you because I was
like,
I'm like, what?
Well, we love Keith for just busting down
wall
and just. He's talking about the fifth wall.
Can we call it the fifth wall?
Yeah, the fifth wall. The podcast wall.
The pod snap. Right for Keith.
Yeah, he came and kicked down that wall, I think, talking about your naked pussies.
I know, he knew
watching
everything.
Watching you in the bathtub.
He even knew about me and the you-know-who and all
you
the,
and the
oh my
you-know-who,
goodness.
And he's watching the show and my dog barking.
Right.
He knows everything. I figured, well, you know, shit, I don't even need to have you over for lunch now.
Right.
We can just skip straight to brunch the next morning. I mean... You know,
right
Keith
there.
And I are practically lovers by this fact, you know?
He's intimate and intimate.
But
and
cute, intimate. Cute. But we
so
did just
adorable.
Go to Steppenwolf, a part of the Windy City Times Theater Series, which is a series of plays. They don't all have to be gay in nature. Sometimes there's a gay author or a gay theme. Sometimes it's just really great fucking theater that we want to go see.
Right.
And we just went to see Steppenwolf's production of Betrayal. Just amazing.
Not like, a little story. I was not familiar with the writer.
Pinter is a phenomenal British writer and writes just, you know, at a time when he was writing, it was kind of before this whole naturalism, the naturalistic speak that continued to really flourish here in Chicago, even with David Mamet. But, you know, just a beautiful relationship play. And,
very much so, and it's told in a complete reverse, which is so interesting, because I always love when you know it's like Jeopardy.
Right.
You know the answer, and you know, but I think on the stage, it's so, the audience is so, whoops, we're trying not to get hit as we cross the street.
Tacky Del Sol convertible.
Right, carefully,
here.
I think he's got the top down, he's going to shoot you. But I think...
It's too blue, it's like electric boogaloo blue.
But it was just interesting to watch the story. You know, we know the answers. We know what the answer to the questions are.
Yeah, you
but
know
then
what the end of the affair is going to look like.
Yeah, and everything goes in reverse. It was just a phenomenal, phenomenal story. But we're about to duck in to have a little nosh to eat, so we're going to jump right back with you folks in just a little bit here.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked. Sponsored by Chase.
Need a vacation from your holiday? Crave some real relaxation and cuddle time without Cousin Susie watching your every move? Not to worry, GayHotelDiscounts.com is here to help. If you're a queen in need of a king, bed that is, you can find the luxury you desire at a price you can afford. Powered by the strongest search engine on the web, GayHotelDiscounts.com are your gay travel experts.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you donned skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round and round.
You practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt and you're still a crowd pleaser.
Oh!
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
And for the week of March 12th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Remy Bumbo Theater Company concludes its 10th year of Think Theater with Mrs. Warren's Profession by George Bernard Shaw. Censored for 8 years for airing Polite Society's Dirty Laundry, this controversial comedy, full of wit and colorful characters, remains as relevant today as when it was written. Mrs. Warren's Profession, playing now through April 22nd at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. For tickets, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumbo.org.
The Chicago Tribune says it's intriguing, tantalizing, lush, and gorgeous. Hubbard Street Dance Chicago presents two separate programs featuring exhilarating new works by leading American and international choreographers, April 11th through the 22nd at the Harris Theater. Call 866-535-HSDC or visit hubbardstreetdance.com.
Germany, 1722. Seven musicians apply for the prestigious post of organist at the Thomaskirche. Insecurities, shortfalls of talent, and widely clashing ideologies collide in a wild and witty exploration of music, ambition, and art. Don't miss Bach at Leipzig at Writers Theater. This vibrant play draws its inspiration from history while taking much delight in its fictional flights of fancy. For more on Bach at Leipzig, go to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Wicked, the most popular musical in Chicago history. For tickets, visit wickedthemusical.com/Chicago.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jerry Potter's Picks. I want to let everyone know about the new Tori Amos CD. It's called American Doll Posse. This is released on May 1st. It's her first all-new material CD in 2 years. So I've met her. She's great to her fans, and everyone should check her out. Also, the Wonka Ball is coming to Chicago here on Thursday, the 17th. That's going to aboutfacetheater.com to buy your tickets. It's at 6:30 at night to 10 o'clock at night. It's a big fundraiser. I had a blast last year. Has a really fun auction and shows and fun things like that you can bid on. So everyone come check that out and keep listening to Jerry Potter's Picks.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News. In San Francisco, accused stalker Han Shin has been ordered to keep at least 100 yards away from Mayor Gavin Newsom. According to court documents, the man took pictures of Newsom from the waist down and grabbed the mayor at a town hall meeting. Shin even infiltrated Newsom's apartment building and has said that he had sex with Newsom.
In Kentucky, the House Health and Welfare Committee defeated a measure that would have prevented higher-level educational institutions from extending domestic partner benefits to families of staff. The measure started after the University of Louisville decided last year to offer benefits.
In New Jersey, Republicans are trying to have an amendment to the state constitution passed that would prohibit same-sex marriage. The state recently allowed same-sex couples to have civil unions.
Dutch scientists have discovered that the human genitalia produces a protein, langerin, that basically devours HIV. The researchers hope to eventually learn to use the compound to curb the transmission of the virus.
Doug Blasdell, who appeared as a personal trainer on the first season of the Bravo series Workout, recently passed away during production of the show's second season. He was only 44 years old. Blasdell was one of three openly gay people on the show, which follows the drama at a gym owned by Jackie Warner, who is a lesbian. The show will premiere its second season on March 20th.
In Cross River, New York, three female high school students were suspended for using the word vagina in the vagina monologues, but the school rescinded the punishment for one of them pending a board meeting on March 13th. School officials warned the 16-year-old junior girls not to use the word vagina. However, they did, and administrators punished them.
In the vagina monologue? Okay. A controversy over the poster for the upcoming movie Pride about Philadelphia's first black swimming team has apparently been smoothed out. The Motion Picture Association of America allegedly would not put its stamp of approval on the poster because actors, including Diana Ross's son Evan, were shown in their Speedos. A second, less revealing poster has been approved for the film starring Bernie Mac and Terrence Howard, which opens March 23rd.
Richard Hatch, who was the first winner of TV Survivor, is appealing his jail sentence for tax fraud. His lawyer, Michael Minns, told an appellate court panel that Hatch was not allowed to explain why he thought the show's producers would pay his taxes. Hatch is currently serving his sentence in a West Virginia minimum security prison.
View co-host Rosie O'Donnell said that she hangs upside down for 30 minutes a day to help her mental well-being. Mm-hmm. She said that she became severely depressed after the Columbine school shootings in 1999, stating, quote, "I stayed in my room. The lights were off. I couldn't get out of bed, and that's when I started taking medication." O'Donnell also said that she has seasonal affective disorder, which makes people depressed during the winter.
Sad. It's a very real thing. Mm. And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Hi, this is Sandra Bernhard, and you're listening to me on Windy City Queercast. Cast your net wide, and who knows what you'll come up with.
And we are back. We're standing in the North and Claiborne train stop between trains. We are.
And we're live.
We're live. We're in the subway. We just had a fantastic meal at the Uncle Julio's. It was delightful.
I have no segue for this, but what the fuck is going on with the gays in the military?
Well, it's like, don't ask, don't tell, but let me just make fun of you or call you out on your horrible... I mean, it's just not right.
The big Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Peter Pace, has said, you know, he basically just said, like, I don't support repealing don't ask, don't tell. It's a good policy. Why would we want to have immoral people serving? And not only are they immoral, but he compared it to the fact that if one armed service officer had sex, an adulterous relationship with another officer's spouse.
Right. And the Tribune broke this.
Yeah, it is the Tribune. And, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, there's so much going on right now because Hillary Clinton, who's running, obviously, for the Democratic presidential candidate, you know, she was against her husband, Bill, enacting Don't Ask, Don't Tell. She's been a huge...
can we say anti-Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Yeah, she has been very much against it. So it's very interesting that it's come up. But now you have other people like... what is this guy's name? I probably won't be able to pronounce.
Martin Meehan?
No, General John Shalaskafisi. I don't know him. He's the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff. He supported it, but now he's come out against it because he says there's no troops. Right. You're going to hear the L. This is the Chicago L. Live experience right here on the Clearcast.
It's going to get a little loud either.
And as we said, so this guy, how would you pronounce that? John Shalaskafisi?
Shalaskafisi.
Shalakashvili.
Well, he was one of the four. He was the former chairman of the Joint Stevens Staff. He once supported Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But he reversed his position, and he actually wrote about how it was time to allow gays to serve.
You know, so, it's interesting because they did these surveys, and about 23% of troops in Iraq and Afghanistan know someone in their unit is gay. And about 55%, more than half of the troops who know someone gay who is serving with them said the presence of that person or the gays and lesbians are there serving with them is just a well-known fact that people actually know. The interesting thing is that they're bringing up the conversation that is it a moral question? Are they not being able to serve because it's a moral question? And that's really not, it's really not the issue at this point, because they've let go the majority of whom they have let go in the past years, because they've let go about 10,000 troops or
Can
members.
Can you imagine?
10,000. And of those, more than 322 were linguists. And of those, more than 50 of those spoke Arabic. So it's like...
Which, let's put it in the grand scheme of things, I'm a polyglot. Arabic is fucking hard.
It's fucking hard. And, you know, of all things, like, what does that have to do with who you're taking a shower with?
Well,
it's about being able to communicate with the enemy or the environment or the ally. And so, you know, I think that's why now it's really becoming, a big thing that it may become a big topic. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's come out about this administration and currently President Bush that is shining such a bad light on how our troops are being taken care of. And I think it'll be really, really, really fascinating to see, because just last month, and we did this as a news story, that Martin Meehan, who's a representative of Massachusetts, he introduced legislation to finally reverse Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And if Don't Ask, Don't Tell did get reversed, this would be a big time to do it. I don't know a non-war time, and God knows what that would look like, because it feels like we've been at war now for so long.
Right, for quite a long time.
But I don't know that this is like a moment where there's urgency and a moment where they may see the need, and maybe it will happen right now. I don't know.
I don't know. I think in talking to people who are queer in the military, people that I have known, even if they were to reverse Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it's not like everybody would be, putting up the rainbow flag and parading around and doing a jig. It's not like that.
But you wouldn't be able to discharge people.
No, it's true that you wouldn't be able to discharge, but I have I'm not saying it's not a good thing to reverse Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but I have the sinking feeling that it's going to take more than just this one little law.
Yeah.
I mean, there will be that, but there's still this perception, and there's bias, and there's attitudes. Then there's a completely underground flip side. Like, I've known quite a few boys in the military who said it was some of the best sexual experiences they ever had. Not to sexualize it, but
right.
They were completely out. They were completely a part of what was going on and the people around them. So I think it's not the fact that there's a law on the books. It's the fact that there are so many old school opinions, because anybody can turn a blind eye on anything. We know there's so much more that happens in the service that's a part. I mean, you're humans. You're humans put in a different place, and you're doing different things, and you're pushing your bodies to a limit, and it pushes your mind to a limit. But there's a lot of people who just don't, who pay no attention to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So it's going to be interesting to see if indeed there really are any repercussions of it. Sure, they won't be able to specifically discharge people on this, but will they try and find something else as a scapegoat to get rid of people in that interim? So,
well, right now they just need people. They do not have the numbers to put on the line as they need. They need to let... I mean, you have reservists who have gone on 2 and 3 tours, who are reservists, for God's sakes.
Who are burned out at this point,
and,
too.
And, the interesting thing is that, as you all know, with my TiVo, my new high-definition TiVo, it has a brain, and so it tapes shit that, I don't even know is going to be on the television.
I think it listens to the podcast, actually.
It really does. It's our number one fan. But it taped Serving in Silence, the Margaretta Kammermeyer story, starring Glenn Close and Judy Davis. And ironically enough, actually today while I was having my lunch, I was watching a little bit of it because we've got this new story, and I don't know why, I just turned it on. And, it's so fascinating to, watch that film, which was made over 10 years ago.
Yeah, and how topical and relevant and how punctuated it is with things that are issues today.
Right. And to understand that, we have had so many unable to advance in the way that they should, unable to be the diplomacy and the policymakers and the final say type of people who were probably the most experienced to do that. Not all of them. I'm not saying all of them, but I mean that we have taken out some fine people with fine experience, you know, and Colonel Margaretta Kammermeyer being one of them. And it's just such an interesting thing that this was such a big topic the last time we were about to put a change of regime, and I call it a regime, but when Clinton was about to enter the White House, and of course he was supposed to make it all better, and then he instigated Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so we didn't get to, but it's just interesting that now we're coming out of another 8 years of Republican dominance, and then you know, now we're here again.
You want to get off with me for a minute?
Yeah,
we'll talk some more. Okay.
All right.
So we're now at Belmont. We're going to step off for a moment. Podcasting from the platform.
So anyhow, I just think it's really interesting because we keep saying, like, what are these parallels? You know, what are parallels between the Reagan-Bush years?
Absolutely.
And the Bush-Bush years. It's so Bush, even this lesbian has had too much Bush years.
Too much Bush.
And it's, you know, and it is this thing of, like, what is happening with Iraq? Here we are again.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I mean, I hope and pray and we'll sweat and bleed to make sure we have a Democrat in the White House in the next
election. I almost think it doesn't even, you know, the whole Barack-Hillary debate, it almost doesn't even matter. I mean, in many ways it matters who it is, but it almost doesn't matter who gets there or who gets up to that, because whoever stands at that Democratic pinnacle, I think is going to take it.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have to, unless they make some seriously dumb mistakes, they're going to take it. And they're going to take it for so many reasons, like this Don't Ask, Don't Tell story, like all of the war stuff going on at the moment, like all of the sort of incongruencies, I think that's the word I'm looking for, that Bush has presented before us. It's so difficult to pinpoint one bad thing on Bush, because how do you pick from all those evils?
Well, you don't. But I just think at core, you know, I just want our gay and lesbian service members to be able to serve. I mean, it's what they want to do with their lives. It is what they have chosen to do. In many ways, I would not even remotely understand.
What I believe they have the right to do.
Absolutely, they have the right to do it. And I, you know, even though I can't grasp my brain around somebody who would want to be in the military,
that's not my
protect
deal.
And serve, if that is your calling, then, you know, God love you. And, you know, it's just a shame that we would reject somebody based on who they love, you know, when they want to protect us and they love this country.
Reject and eject.
Yeah.
Like, take people who have been in serving positions, who have had legacies of great service records, and say, oh, wait, you're queer, you get out now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what boggles my mind the most, is that it's, in many ways, if people haven't even had the chance to start the race, that's one thing, but to turn out people with flawless service records, with incredible, incredible acts
and
of heroism,
skills
no matter,
as well. It's like, who speaks Arabic?
Right.
54 gay people who've been kicked out. You know,
kicked out of the club for what? For just being who they are at heart. You know, it was interesting. We talked on the story with Tom Kowalczyk, the conductor, the director of the Lakeside Pride Symphonic Band. You know, he was kicked out of it. He was a damn good teacher, and he was kicked out of his teaching position because he was gay.
Right.
And not only was he kicked out of his teaching position in Michigan, he was kicked out of his teaching position in Chicago because he was gay. It just goes to show that still that this discrimination later, you know, this goes back to the discussion I've had about marriage. It's just not at the top of my list.
It's not on the top of my list either, you know. And Bill Greaves, who is the mayor's liaison to the gay and lesbian community, we hope to have him on our show sometime soon. But he spoke out to the Tribune this week, and he spoke about what were our concerns. And the reviewer even said, or the reporter even said, not gay marriage. And he was like, it's not in the top two or three. And it's my opinion that it shouldn't be. And you and I are in agreement with that. But, well, we are now on the L stop at the Belmont. This is really the gayest L stop in the city of Chicago.
The second gayest.
What's the most gay?
I guess this is the gayest.
This is the gayest.
It looks at Berlin. The second gayest would probably be like Berwyn, Bryn Mawr.
That would be the lesbian one.
Andersonville. Well, but the boys tend to live near the red line more than the girls. I think the lesbians live a little bit further from the train.
So we've taken you out on a Tuesday night Peter and Amy, and this is kind of what we do. You know, this is our city. If you don't live in a major metropolitan city, we take the train, we go see a little theater, we go do a little Mexican food, have a couple of margaritas.
It's delightful. I had the rice and beans.
Take the train back.
I had the rice and beans.
We talk about politics. We talk about whatever the hell
all
we want to talk about. It's a night in Chicago.
Theater.
And we're glad that you joined us. And we've got a great show for you tonight and today.
This is the show.
This is the show. This is the show.
Well, we are the show.
We are a great freaking show.
We're so used to setting everything up, but we're actually the whole show tonight.
I love that.
We are what's going on. That's why I made her get off the train. I was like, we have to get off the train.
I love getting off the train. I'm actually chewing gum, which I never do on the podcast. Keith, what do you think about that?
I can't chew gum.
Keith, my lover, what do you think about that?
I still have those posts on my teeth. I tried to chew gum the other day, and I literally looked like one of those. Remember Ghoulies?
No.
Ghoulies was where the little critters kept popping out of the toilet. It was like,
oh yeah,
yeah, and there was the one who had like
like Gremlins but bad and gross,
right?
Not cute at all. No Furbies.
And, like, chewing people on the butt as it came out of the toilet. And there was that one who stood up and he like opened his mouth and there were like strings of things. That's what my mouth looked like the last time I tried to chew gum. The gum stuck to all the appliances from the Invisalign. It was a mess.
I need to have a root canal and I am avoiding it. Not that the root canal is not going to be bad, but I'm just avoiding it, and I need to do that.
I have a great dentist if you need one.
No,
he's fabulous, Dr. Marcus.
One. Here's the deal. Like, tomorrow, since I've said it on the podcast, and now it is down for humanity and for all eternity.
For all posterity.
Because from what I hear, you can't really erase anything from the internet.
Not so much. Someone vacuums
it. I have said that I'm going to get a call, my endodontist tomorrow. I'm set up my root canal, so... There you go. I'm chewing on one side of my teeth and eating on one side of my teeth. You can drink on either side of your teeth, which is a good thing. But
well, it depends, because like when I had to have a root canal, cold was no good for me.
Yeah, cold's not so great. Pressure's not so great. Every now and again, you know, it's kind of like when something hurts, you kind of chew on it just because it hurts. I sound very Southern right now.
It's the gum or the tequila. I'm not quite sure.
Tequila.
Look, that's a southbound red line pulling into the station at the moment. Look at me. I'm getting all sportscaster. No, that's not mine. But wait, because as you guys know, I live at the corner of Gangay, so I live in the neighborhood. Amy lives way on the north side, so she's got to continue on her red line travels.
Yeah, I'm moving up to where the lesbians live, and the gay boys are coming that make it trendy.
They are. You know, well, I lived in Rogers Park. No, let's see. I moved out of there.
I know. You were up in my head that you left. Yeah.
It's going to be just a year ago, April. And I lived up there, and it was so funny because I used to jog in the neighborhood, and I would run around Warren Park, which is a place where a lot of the queer football players go do their thing.
Right.
We'll wait for the train to pass. Hang on.
What do you think about that ING Direct? You know anything about them?
What's ING Direct?
Okay, never mind. You know anything about them? No, that's okay. I just gave them a plug. Maybe they'll give me some money.
There you go. ING Direct calling ING Direct.
Yeah.
But I was jogging in Rogers Park, and all of a sudden, you know, you jog, and you see a fellow jogger coming the other direction. And then it was sort of... He looked in my eyes, he looked at my crotch, he looked at my shoes, he looked at my crotch, he looked at my eyes. I was like, oh.
Not a straight boy.
No, he just cruised me. Because, like, a straight jogger would be like, I'm looking at your eyes, I'm looking at your shoes, I'm looking at your eyes.
I don't know how to get cruised, but I'm about to get on this train.
You are.
So Peter's going to wrap this up.
Oh, we'll sign off here.
He may have to talk a little bit on the way home.
No, not so much.
If you see somebody cute, feel free to do that. I don't know, this may not be my train. Is it my train?
It sounds like it's yours. Yeah, it is yours. It's yours because you're on the inside track on the
running. Clearcasters, next week, we want you to be listening to us and come out to our two idol events at Jackhammer and Closet.
So much good stuff, yes.
Peter will tell you more details, but I love you. This has been awfully fun.
Mwah.
And I love my
good
Peter.
Good night, baby. Mwah.
And I will talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light. Always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.